This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views conveyed by the guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information shared by the guests on this program are those of the guests and are for informational purposes only. They should not replace the medical advice of your veterinarian.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. In this episode, pet care expert Kim Gablin shares helpful advice for keeping pets safe and healthy this spring. That's what's on our show, so let's get started.
Come here, babies. It's time for a treat. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's national award-winning author and animal advocate, Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves. Thank you for joining us today as we bring you the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Contact us at thedoggydiva.com. That's the doggydiva.com. We love hearing from you, so go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
You know the expression, cats have nine lives. Well, what if you can give them one more? The Give Them 10 movement is on a mission to help give cats an extra life. How? With spay and neuter. Spaying or neutering your cat helps them live a longer, healthier life. And it helps control free-roaming cat populations too. Learn more about the benefits of spay and neuter and meet Scooter, the neutered cat, at givethem10.org. That's givethem10.org.
Let's talk pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Pet care expert Kim Gablin shares valuable health and safety advice for pet parents to help them keep their pets healthy and happy as the weather starts warming up for spring. Welcome back to the show, Kim.
Hi, Sue. Thank you so much for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. And this is like a really, these are some really great topics that you've got here. Coming into spring, as a pet parent, I look forward to spring because the weather warms up and then we can spend some, you know, a lot of time outdoors with our pets. Why is it so important for pet parents to prepare for the change of seasons to spring?
We know, Sue, so many of us are excited about the warmer weather, more sunshine. You know, if you're in the case of me and you live up north, the end of the snow and finally not having all that mud and snow and everything come back in when your dogs come back in. So that often means, you know, that we're going to spend more time outside. That's what we're looking forward to, right? In the backyard and out in nature. So, you know, taking a time to prepare, just a few things, a few tips just to remember can really help get your spring off to, you know, a kind of a healthy and happy transition for your dog.
What tips do you have that we could do around the house to help keep our dogs healthy and safe as the weather warms up?
We know certainly the first place we should look is the closest place to us, right, which is around our house. And so around the house, there's a few different places to think about. You know, first of all, you want to clean up any yard waste that's out there. You know, trees have been losing leaves. They've been losing limbs. You know, you might have some bushes that need to be trimmed back in any overgrown areas. There may be acorns on the ground and litter that might have found its way to your backyard. So you want to kind of get that all out of the way and kind of make sure that that helps prevent any injuries, your dog getting into something they shouldn't be eating, and, you know, and avoid that stomach upset. You know, secondly, we need to think about our window and door screens. You know, that's kind of, it's your doors are one way to keep your dog out from, you know, going outside, but certainly sometimes they can get really excited and go right through that screen, especially if it's not secure. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure that you're checking your screens and being sure they're steady and properly, you know, attached. And, you know, one glimpse of a rabbit or a squirrel could entice your little baby, your fur baby, right, to break through that screen. So you want to make sure that all of those are in really good shape and ready to kind of take any kind of excitement or, you know, banging against that your dog may give them. And, you know, certainly think about leaving your patio doors open, maybe only partially, to minimize the chance that your dog might, you know, make a run for it. I've been spending the last week with one of my friends, and she has a Springer Spaniel, and she's a very good dog. But, you know, that squirrel comes up and she's like, oh man, she is, you know, she practically drags my friend like 5 feet whenever a squirrel shows up. So, you know, you got to remember to keep those kind of those secure windows and door screens so that they don't get out of the house too. So another place is garden safety. You know, whether you're new to your house or you have a new dog or you've been there for a little while, you want to check the plants around the outside of your house and make sure that they're not hazardous to your dog's health, or maybe, you know, just trying to keep your dog away from them getting into them. And, you know, I'm really surprised. I was looking, you know, doing a little research, and, you know, there are a lot of family favorites that can pose risk to your dog if eaten. And there are things like tulip bulbs, the tomato plant itself, or if your dog gets into your green tomatoes, iris, amaryllis, hydrangeas, azaleas, daffodils, and daisies. So there's really quite a few of them that can pose hazards to your dog. Not all of them are toxic, but some of them can make your dog sick. So you want to really make sure, you know, if you have sugo palm trees, I mean, that might be something that you might have down south.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are very poisonous, especially the seeds. They're very toxic. So again, you want to make sure you understand what is in your yard and what your dog might have access to, and making sure that you're able to manage that and keep them away from those things. And certainly even garden fertilizers. You know, if you have a garden and you're growing some plants, that could be a problem. And if you put out slug bait, that can also be hazardous to your dog. So you want to make sure you're reading the instructions and really understanding the products that you're using and keeping them out of the reach of your dog, right? When you're applying them, and also when you're storing them in the garage. Because, you know, the garage is kind of another place we don't always think about. When we're outside and the dog's with us and they're in the garage, they could get into some of the things that we have stored in the garage too. And around the house, last but not least, is the lawns. Especially if you live somewhere where there's a lot of grass and everything. If you're treating your lawn, you want to make sure that you're looking for natural dog-safe products. There are a lot of them out there now that you can actually fertilize with. And you want to, and if you're not using something that, you know, your dog can be on, you want to make sure that you're checking and understanding how long you need to wait before letting your dog on the grass. So, so it's important to really understand when you're doing those fertilizer treatments, what you can and can't do with your dog, and to try to keep them safe. And also don't forget that, you know, our neighbors are also out there treating their lawns, right? Trying to avoid those dandelions. You want to be on the lookout for those lawn signs out there that indicate that, hey, I just recently, you know, treated a lawn, and make sure that you're keeping your dog away from that area. That's always a tough thing, because you hope that people put out the little signs to let you know not to have your dog go on the lawn.
No, because they run along the lawn line, you know, and you want to keep them on the sidewalk, and they're going, no, I sniffed something. And when you see one of those little signs, you want to pull them the other way. So that's great advice. And speaking of signs, with the warmer weather upon us, another thing that is upon us, ticks and fleas.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You know, it's certainly going to be, you know, season, right? I mean, for mosquitoes, fleas, ticks, those kinds of bugs, right, that can give our dogs things that we don't want them to have. So prevention is really the key when it comes to bugs. So, you know, when we're thinking about spending more time outside with that potential exposure, there are a few things to think about. So with fleas and ticks, you know, both fleas and ticks can give you and your dog life-threatening diseases, right? So you want to make sure that you're treating with prevention drugs, or there's all kinds of things you can treat with. But some dogs are very sensitive to flea bites, and they can even develop serious allergic reactions to that. So, you know, look for flea and tick protection. There's a lot of options to choose from. There's prescription pills, there's ointments, there's collars. You know, make sure you're talking to your veterinarian about what is the best choice for your dog. There are pros and cons to all of them. And so it's really important to be able to kind of understand what you can do to be able to help keep them at bay. And, you know, when you come back in, especially maybe if you've been out in the woods or in some taller grass areas, you want to try to just take a quick look at your dog, right? After you've been outside for unwanted hitchhikers, you know, look behind the ears, by the tail, on their tummy, you know, on their legs. Sometimes, you know, just getting a brush out and having like a little brush with them after that is a great way to be able to kind of do an inspection real quick, but also, you know, kind of, you know, get out any kind of matting or anything that might be happening. So that's a good way to be able to check for that. You know, when it comes to mosquitoes, those also can pose a significant health risk. So, you know, once your dog is bitten by an infected mosquito, what happens is those worms can embed in their heart in their lungs and their arteries. And then, you know, they're very difficult to treat. You know, not all dogs make it through that treatment. So that's why that heartworm preventative medication is so important. You know, and there's been a lot, there's a lot of discussion about, should you do it part of the year? Should you do it all of the year? It's a very serious disease. So it's very important to think about what you need to do. And again, ask your veterinarian what he or she would recommend for your dog. So I think that that's very important. Another thing to think about when it comes to, you know, outside and kind of running around is identification. You know, we want to be preventative with identification, right? So if you've been indoors more, maybe you haven't been, you know, having your dog wear their collar. So, you know, maybe it's time to put that collar back on. Make sure you have the correct ID tag, you know, in case you've moved. You want to make sure that you've got the right address or phone number on your dog, or, you know, at least a phone number that they, someone can contact you. And if your dog is microchipped, that now is a great time to go on that online registry. Make sure that you have your current address and phone number listed. And so someone could get a hold of you in case your dog is found by someone.
You know, Kim, that's very important too, because with the weather, with the things that are going on, you know, in case you do lose your dog or something happens or your dog does run away, it's very, very important. Sometimes people say, oh, my dog's microchipped, but you've moved since you registered. So please yes. make sure that's very important, Kim, to update the registry of your microchip and to make sure that your ID tags are up to date too.
Yes. And I recently read that one of the microchip companies maybe went away. And so you want to also double check that they're mm-hmm. still there and that that's all still active and kind of what else you should do if they're not. So that's really important to kind of check into as well. And being outside, you know, obviously we're going to spend more time, you know, maybe by the pool or the lake or the beach. And so, you know, that creates some, you know, water safety opportunities too. You should never leave your dog alone to swim. You know, even if you think they know how to get out of the pool or get out of the lake, you know, you never know if something's going to happen. They might get tired. They might get disoriented. So it's very important to not let them alone swimming. You know, I don't know if you have it so much in Florida, but I know that I've been hearing a lot more, especially these last couple of years, about lakes and rivers having blue-green algae.
Yep.
Which can be potentially dangerous and deadly to dogs. So, you know, you don't want your dog drinking the water, you know, when there's blue-green algae. So it's good to keep them on a leash and kind of keep them away from anything. And you want to watch for any warning signs. You know, sometimes if they know an area does have the blue-green algae, there will be warning signs up around the lake or that river. So it's really important to do that. And, you know, and even with salt water, drinking or swallowing too much salt water can be a hazard for your dog. Eating seaweed or sand is also a big no-no. So you want to make sure that, you know, as you're having fun and spending time at the beach or at the pool or, you know, at the lake, that you're kind of thinking about what things your dog might be able to get into and kind of keeping them away from that as well. You know, the latest thing that we've been hearing really about is a lot about bird flu. And certainly, certainly, yeah, this is all new territory. You know, this is all new kind of, you know, thankfully so far we haven't heard anything, you know, coming to dogs. But, you know, the American Veterinary Association basically has a few tips for preventing bird flu infection in dogs. And the good news is those tips are basically the same for many other infectious diseases, right? So these are things that you should normally be doing for your dog anyway, right? So first of all, you want to make sure that you, if you do have pets that go outside, you want to keep them away from wild birds, poultry, cows, cattle, you know, and the environments that those birds, poultry, and cattle are in. So, so you don't want them to be getting close to them, especially if they're acting strangely. You definitely want to make sure that you stay clear. You want to prevent pets from eating any dead birds or any other animals. So again, you know, we talked about checking around your yard, making sure everything is clean and clear. That's another thing to be able to look at when you're looking at your yard, making sure things are good. You also don't want to feed them raw meat, you know, raw beef or poultry or unpasteurized milk. So that would be a really good thing. And I would also say, you know, for those of you who have dogs and cats, now is a good time to keep your cat indoors. So, you know, if you let your cat out, you know, it's a good time to be thinking about not letting them out anymore as well.
Those are great tips. And you know what? Why don't we take a quick break? And when we return, Kim's going to share some more helpful tips with us. We'll be back in just a second.
Hello, everyone. Susan Marie here to tell you about the award-winning three-book series, The Doggy Diva Diaries. It is a trilogy of heartwarming and inspirational stories about Miss Olive, a lonely little rescue pup, hoping to find her forever family and friends and a life filled with love. In this series, Miss Olive learns that it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside, it's the kindness and love you have on the inside that counts. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and other online booksellers. And please visit us at thedoggydiva.com for more information.
Thank you, everyone.
take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to the Doug Diva Show. I am here with Kim Gablin, and she's given us some great, helpful tips on springtime so that our pets can have a happy and healthy spring and enjoy the outdoors and indoors with us. So with warmer temperatures in the spring, you know, pet parents have to be on the lookout and really be aware of like additional challenges. Can you share some of those with us?
Absolutely. We know we talk about car safety. And, you know, Sue, this is like a big pet peeve of both you and I, right? Mm-hmm. Everyone remember that a hot car is no place to leave your dog unattended. And so many states have outlawed this, but it's important to remember that a car parked in 70 degrees can heat up to 100 in just 20 minutes.
And that's so important, Kim.
Unfortunately,
where I live, I see it down here, and I am the one that calls the police or goes in the store and makes an announcement, or I cannot stand that. Yeah.
Yeah, it can get very dangerous very quickly. So it's really important to remember that. And, you know, I know that it's not maybe 70 degrees everywhere. You know, that's everywhere where you're listening from. But certainly those temperatures can get up pretty quickly. So you want to make sure don't leave your dog there. So,
and if you do want to travel with your dogs or bring your dogs places, think about that, what Kim's saying, because the weather could affect the way your dog. I know that we'd crack the window open just a little bit, but leave your dog at home so they could stay in a nice, cool home and they'll be ready to greet you when you come to the door.
Yeah, absolutely. Or, you know, you leave someone in the car that's gone with you to the store and then they can stay in the car and keep the air conditioning on.
Yep.
Everybody can stay safe. And then, you know, heat stroke is another thing that we talk a lot about, right? Especially when it gets warmer. So it's a little early for that, but it's just a good reminder that, you know, since we're talking about temperature, we want to make sure that you're aware that, you know, there are, as it gets hotter and there are higher numbers on the thermometer and more outdoor activity, that could translate into heat stroke. And so some of the signs that you want to look for are things like excessive panting, a high heart rate, if they're warm, you know, if they have a high temperature, if you're seeing them vomit or be disoriented. If you're starting to see those signs and you feel like that they're overheating, it's really important to seek veterinary care immediately. They need to be cooled down and they need to see a veterinarian immediately so that they can kind of reverse that process. That's really important. And, you know, as we talk about being outside and in the temperatures and everything, you know, you want to gradually build up that physical activity. I don't know about you, Sue, but I probably haven't been out in the 20 degree weather or the minus 20 degree wind chill some days, doing much. So it's really important that, you know, as you're gearing up, you have to think about your pet gearing up, right? You might not have been out taking long walks. You might have been taking fewer and shorter walks, you know, over the last few months. So, you know, take the time to kind of warm up, right? And there's no need to overdo it at the first sign of warmer weather. You know, add 5 minutes or 10 minutes to your walk every few days until you eventually get to kind of like that average time you want to aim for. There's no need to just, you know, go from, hey, we have a 5 minute walk to all of a sudden we go out and hike for an hour. That can be very stressful for both of you. So, so it's important to kind of to think about that. And, you know, if you are adding hiking to your walks, you know, not just maybe taking a walk around the neighborhood, be sure to account for that extra energy that's needed, right? And don't forget to bring a few treats along, bring some water along for your dog to stay hydrated. And, you know, that will really help make that transition into that more activity, which I know your dog will be very excited to do, a little bit more fun. And then, you know, last but not least, when we think about temperatures, we don't always think about grooming. But, you know, it's really funny. You know, some people really feel like, oh, gosh, it's really warm outside. It's time to shave my dog down. And, you know, not all dogs need to be shaved. So dogs should be shedding in the spring. So what you might want to do is do some regular brushing and making sure that you're helping them get rid of those extra unneeded fur quickly and easily. But you also want to talk with your local vet or groomer, right, about the best cut for your dog for the summer. Sometimes you can get a puppy cut for them, or, you can get something that's a little bit cooler. But, again, don't shave your dog down necessarily, especially if you get them cut too short. You could have a higher chance of getting your dog sunburned, which I know is not something we talk about very often. But if you have a pink skin dog, like Bichons, for example, they can get sunburned very easily. And so you want to make sure that you're not cutting them down too short to make sure that they're still safe and prepared and, kind of covered from the sunshine.
Well, I think that those are great tips. And I have to tell you, Kim, I've always had short hair. Well, I have like Italian greyhounds, whippets. I have my first dog that has hair, long hair. So we regularly are brushing her all the time now. So, so that tip was very, I was taking notes on that one because I think that my spring and my summer is all going to be changed now because of little Miss Daisy.
but a little bit of grooming can really go a long way.
Yes.
We're getting them groomed every once in a while, and then you can kind of do a little bit of, a little bit of shaping in between. It really can make a big difference. But having someone who knows how to groom them mm-hmm. and give you some advice, can really help them be more comfortable and cool and kind of prevent some of the matting that can happen.
Well, these are great tips. And Kim, I want to thank you for being our guest and for sharing such valuable information for pet parents to help keep their pets happy and healthy and safe as the weather warms up for the spring. And, I want to thank you again, Kim, just for sharing this with us. And it's just great info and a lot of stuff I think that people may not think of right away when they're thinking of spring, because everybody's so excited just to get outdoors and enjoy the warm weather or the warmer weather. And there's really a lot as a pet parent that we really need to keep in mind. So this is like really great information so that we could be safe, healthy, and happy. That's what it's all about.
Indeed. And they're not difficult to do. They're just some quick things to be able to think about and get prepared. So I hope you have a happy spring. Thank you so much for having
me
on.
You too. Thanks, Kim. Have a happy spring. We'll be back in just a moment.
Molly, here's your dinner. Zeus, that's not your food.
Don't let that happen to your precious cat. Elevate your cat's eating experience with the Cat Tree Tray. The Cat Tree Tray keeps your cat's food off the floor and conveniently located on the cat tree. It's the perfect way to eat. It's a beautiful wrought iron tray that easily attaches to your cat tree and keeps dogs and other critters out of your cat's dish. A must for multi-pet households. There's a 6-inch tray for large bowls and a 4-inch tray for smaller bowls. Purchase your cat tree tray today. Go right now to cattreetray.com. That's cattreetray.com. cattreetray.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
We would like to thank our guests this week. And also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the Doggy Diva Show. To find out more about Susan Marie and the Doggy Divas, visit them at their website, thedoggydiva.com, and on Facebook at The Doggy Diva Show. Tell your fellow pet parents about it. We look forward to having you join us again for the next episode. See you soon.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.